Hello, and welcome to the AK-47 podcast. My name is Kristen Godsey, and today is International Working Women's Day, or International Women's Day, March 8th, depending on where you are and which history of the holiday you ascribe to. I'm recording this podcast in Sofia, Bulgaria, where it is a holiday where people exchange flowers and gifts and, you know, write cards for their moms, but also where women get together and dress up and go out and have fun and drink and dance. And it's going to be a pretty joyful evening, I think. And so today I am going to do a little something different for this podcast, because instead of reading Kollontai, I've already read Kollontai's 1920 essay on International Women's Day. And last year, I read the essay by Clara Zetkin, who was Alexander Kollontai's German colleague. Since this is a podcast about women and socialism, I am going to read an essay by somebody called Claudia Jones. It is an International Women's Day address from 1950, which was delivered in the United States. Claudia Jones was a Black journalist and activist. She was a member of the Communist Party of the USA. She was originally from Trinidad, an island in the West Indies. And it was this speech that ultimately got her thrown in jail and eventually deported from the United States. She ended up in England, but she had a very important role to play in many respects in the United States, because as Eric McDuffie in his wonderful book, Sojourning for Freedom, points out, Claudia Jones was one of these really prominent Black women's activists who really kind of cut their teeth in the Communist Party of the USA, or the CPUSA. So this is not directly related to Alexandra Kollontai, but she, Claudia Jones, is clearly the heir to Alexandra Kollontai's politics and her ideas, particularly as you will see in this speech, because it is about the ways in which women's emancipation and Black liberation in particular are related to anti-militarism. So 1950 is just 5 years after the end of World War II. The Korean War is looming on the horizon. And the political context of the United States is that there is a communist witch hunt going on. There's the House Un-American Activities and McCarthyism. And basically, people like Claudia Jones are being hounded out of the country or losing their jobs or otherwise being persecuted for their beliefs. And Claudia Jones gives this speech very publicly at a rally. And it was later published in a magazine and circulated quite widely. And so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will link to the whole thing if you're interested in seeing the whole text. I'm just going to read the first section, which is really specifically about International Women's Day and the call for world peace and anti-militarism. And given everything that's going on in the world today, this is a very relevant and timely speech, despite the fact that it is now exactly 74 years old. So before I read this first section of the speech by Claudia Jones, I just wanted to alert you to a couple of podcasts that I did for International Women's Day. The first is the Upstream podcast, where I was talking about why women have better sex under socialism and other arguments for economic independence. In honor of International Women's Day, I will link to that podcast in the show notes. And I also did the Total Liberation podcast with Mexi about the history of International Women's Day and the importance of this holiday to sort of broad intersectional political progressive movements. And I have this 2019 op-ed that I wrote in the New York Times about basically my mother and me and our debates about Mother's Day versus International Women's Day. And I always like to go back and reread that essay every March 8th, because it was, you know, it's a product of the pre-pandemic times, but it also captures, I think, something important about that moment in American history, prior to the 2020 election, when people were still really talking about socialism. You know, Bernie Sanders was still very much a political presence, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of sort of more kind of self-identified socialists were being elected as representatives to Congress. There was a lot of optimism around the possibility of socialist movements and socialist politics in the United States. And I feel like a lot of that optimism has receded, partially because of Biden, partially because of the pandemic, partially because the world is just really kind of crazy and screwed up right now. And so it was a moment when the New York Times would actually publish an op-ed about International Women's Day and its socialist history. So I'll also put that in the show notes and a couple of other resources for people who are interested in learning more about this holiday. All right, so here is Claudia Jones, the first section of her essay. Actually, it's a speech that was later turned into an essay entitled International Women's Day and the Struggle for Peace. On International Women's Day this year, millions of women in the worldwide camp of peace, headed by the mighty land of socialism, will muster their united forces to make March 8th, 1950, a day of demonstrative struggle for peace, freedom, and women's rights. In our own land, there will be over 50 celebrations. On New York's Lower East Side, original site of the historic American-born Day of Struggle for Equal Rights for Women, and in major industrial states such as Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, California, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, a broad united front of meetings of Women for Peace will be held. Save the peace. Halt production of the A-bomb. Negotiate with the Soviet Union to outlaw atomic weapons. These are the slogans of the women of the USA on International Women's Day. The special significance of this holiday this year, its particular meaning for labor, progressives, and communists, and for American working women generally, is to be found in the widespread condemnation among numerous sections of the American people of Truman's cold-blooded order to produce the hydrogen bomb and to inaugurate a suicidal atomic and hydrogen weapon race. Not to the liking of the imperialist ideologists of the American century is the growing indication by millions of American women of their opposition to war, their ardent desire for peace, their rejection of the Truman bipartisan war policy. As in the Protestant women's groups, many women's organizations are opposed to the North Atlantic War Pact. That's NATO, by the way, which spells misery for the masses of American women and their families. This development coincides with the policy stand of progressive women's organizations that have been outspoken in demands for peaceful negotiations of differences with the Soviet Union, for the outlawing of atomic weapons, for the ending of the Cold War. Typical of the shocked reaction to Truman's order for H-bomb production was the statement of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, demanding that Secretary of State Dean Acheson make clear by action as well as by words that the United States desires negotiations and agreement with the Soviet Union. This is necessary, the statement added, to avoid bringing down upon this nation the condemnation of the world. These and other expressions of opposition to the administration's H-bomb policy made by notable women's organizations and leaders merge with the significant grassroots United Front peace activities developing in many communities. For example, in Boston, as a result of a Save the Peace-Outlaw the Bomb peace ballot circulated last November, a permanent broad United Front women's organization, Minute Women for Peace, has been established. In that city, within 10 days, over 6,000 women from church, trade union, fraternal, Negro, civic, and middle-class-led women's organizations signed peace ballots urging the outlawing of the A-bomb. In Philadelphia, a Women's Committee for Peace has addressed to President Truman a ballot to outlaw the H-bomb, vote for peace. Similar developments have taken place in Pasadena and Chicago. The wide response of women of all political opinions to these ballots is but an index of the readiness of American women to challenge the monstrous Truman doctrine that war is inevitable. Emulation of these developments in other cities, particularly among working class and Negro women, is certainly on the order of the day. Indicative of the determination of women not only to register their peace sentiments, but to fight for peace, is the coalescing on a community basis following such ballotings of women's peace committees. The orientation of these committees is to convene women's peace conferences in alliance with the general peace movement now developing. The widespread peace sentiments, particularly of the women and the youth in their millions, must be organized and given direction and effective militant expression. This is necessary since the monopolist rulers are doing everything possible to deceive the people, to paralyze their will to fight for peace. Particularly insidious agents of the war makers are the social democratic and reformist labor leaders, the reactionary Roman Catholic hierarchy, and the American agents of the fascist Tito gang of imperialist spies, whose main task is to confuse, split, and undermine the peace camp. Hence, a fundamental condition for rallying the masses of American women into the peace camp is to free them from the influence of the agents of imperialism and to arouse their sense of internationalism with millions upon millions of their sisters the world over, to protest the repressive and death-dealing measures carried through against the countless women victims by Wall Street's puppets in martialized Italy, in fascist Greece and Spain, to link them in solidarity with the anti-imperialist women united 80 million strong in 59 lands in the Women's International Democratic Federation, who are in front of the ranks of the struggle for peace and democracy. Okay, pause for a second here. So the Women's International Democratic Federation, just a little background here, is an organization that was founded in Paris by left-affiliated women, some communists, some socialists, to protest basically war in all of its forms. A lot of Japanese women were involved in this organization after the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And so this organization was very much associated with the Soviet Union, but it was also very much associated with this sort of international peace movement that followed the Second World War. There was a real fear that the United States, which had benefited largely from the Second World War, was going to use its sort of new hegemonic position within the world economy and polity to sort of further its own imperialist aims. And so these women like Claudia Jones and affiliate organizations like the Congress of American Women, which were the American affiliated organizations of the Women's International Democratic Federation, this big kind of global umbrella organization, which eventually gets sort of like taken out of existence by the House Un-American Activities Committee, which considers it a communist front organization. So it sort of loses its consultative status at the UN. And many of the women who are involved in this organization are kind of hounded down by the government. And, you know, some of them commit suicide, some of them lose their jobs, some of them, like Claudia Jones, are forced out of the country. But it's a real way in which in 1950, women's rights, women's equality before the law, and sort of any form of kind of pro-women's activism was very much conflated with communism. And part of that was because actually quite a few of the women involved in these women's organizations were themselves communists, but also because after the Second World War, you know, all of the women who had been working in the factories were kind of shoved back into the home, and the United States really regressed to a very kind of traditional nuclear family model with a breadwinner husband who goes out and works and a housemaker mom, wife who stays home and basically tends to the domestic sphere and the children. And many leftist women really looked to the Soviet Union and to these new countries in Eastern Europe, which were really incorporating women into the labor force in really important ways and giving women, you know, full legal constitutional equality with men, promoting women's education and training. Many of the things that had been done in the 20s when Kollontai was the Commissar of Social Welfare and then the head of the Genotdal, a lot of those policies that Kollontai had put into place in the early 20s in the Soviet Union actually get resurrected in Eastern Europe after the Second World War. And people like Claudia Jones and her comrades in the Congress of American Women and more broadly in the Women's International Democratic Federation were really thinking that women's emancipation required kind of a communist, anti-militarist political stance against the forces of imperialism and patriarchy and white supremacy, that imperialism and patriarchy and white supremacy were completely interrelated. And that's what this speech is really about. And that's why she got into so much trouble. So I'm just going to read now this last paragraph of this first section. In these lands, and she's talking about these 59 countries that have affiliated organizations with the Women's International Democratic Federation. Anti-fascist women collect millions of signatures for the outlawing of the A-bomb, against the Marshall Plan and Atlantic War Pact, for world disarmament, etc. In the German Democratic Republic, 5 million signatures were collected by women for outlawing the A-bomb. In Italy, the Union of Italian Women collected more than 2 million such signatures for presentation to the De Gasperi government. In France, women conducted demonstrations when bodies of dead French soldiers were returned to their shores as a result of the Marshall Plan financed war of their own government against the heroic Vietnamese. In Africa, women barricaded the roads with their bodies to prevent their men from being carted away as prisoners in a militant strike struggle charged with slogans of anti-colonialism and peace. And who can measure the capitalist fear of emulation by American Negro and white women of these peace struggles, particularly of the women of China, as reflected in the All Asian Women's Conference held last December in Peking, whose feudal bonds were severed forever as a result of the majority victory of the Chinese People's Revolution. These and other significant anti-imperialist advances achieved in united front struggle should serve to inspire the growing struggles of American women and heighten their consciousness of the need for militant united front campaigns around the burning demands of the day against monopoly oppression, against war and fascism. All right, so that's the first section of this speech. And then she goes on and this speech gets into, you know, much more specific historical detail about the kind of situation of the world in the United States in 1950, which would require sort of a lot more contextualization for me to read that part of the speech. But I highly recommend you checking out the link and at least browsing some of the rest of the speech. It is really quite fascinating to see how Claudia Jones brings together all of these different struggles: anti-imperialism, the civil rights struggle, women's rights, peace initiatives, the outlawing of the A-bomb, the anti-colonial war against France in Vietnam. And so I'm just going to take this last section of the speech to give you a little bit of a taste of how she finishes and how she relates it back to International Women's Day and this sort of intersectional view of what the communist movement meant to women and minorities, racial minorities in the United States, and the role that she envisions for the Communist Party. In keeping with the spirit of International Women's Day, tremendous tasks fall upon our party. The mobilization of the masses of Americans, together with the enlisting and activation of women cadres for heightened struggles for peace and for the special needs of oppressed womanhood, is indispensable to the building and strengthening of the anti-fascist, anti-imperialist, anti-war coalition. In working for a stronger peace movement among the women as such, we must draw the masses of women into the impending 1950 election campaign and thereby, on the basis of their experiences in the struggle, help raise their political consciousness to the understanding of the bipartisan demagogy and the hollowness of Truman's tall promises. Large masses of women can thus be brought to a full break with the two-party system of monopoly capital and to the adherence to the third-party movement. In the course of this development, with our party performing its vanguard task, advanced sections among the working class women will attain the level of socialist consciousness and will, as recruited communists carry on their struggle among the broad masses of women upon the scientific conviction that the final guarantee of peace, bread, and freedom, and the full emancipation of subjected womankind will be achieved only in a socialist America. Okay, so that was an excerpt from Claudia Jones's March 8th, 1950 speech, which was later published as an essay called International Women's Day and the Struggle for Peace. I hope I've given you some context for this essay and speech. Obviously, she got in a lot of trouble for delivering it. As I said, it ended up putting her in jail and then eventually getting her kicked out of the United States permanently. But it is Women's Day today, and I thought it would be great to bring in some communist history from the United States. It's a history that very few people know because the Second Red Scare was very effective at getting rid of these American communists. Many people burned their papers. They went underground. As I said, some of them committed suicide. So we sort of lost this history. And Claudia Jones is an incredible figure. I encourage you all to go out and read more about her and her life and her incredible activism. But with that, I want to wish everyone a happy International Working Women's Day. And wherever you are, you know, Chestit Osmi Mart from Bulgaria, and thank you as always so much for listening. Please keep up the good fight.